morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Together on this Monday, July 20th already. Wow, where does the time go? If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. Want to remind you, let us know someone you love, a friend, a coworker, someone in your family has a birthday. Let me know. I'd love to give a shout out in the morning. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and I have the privilege and honor of hanging out with you in the morning. Thank you for tuning in, and I just want to say thanks to all of you that came out over the weekend. You know, it was quite a rally that we had, the Rise Up Rally down at the Capitol. We had a fun time, and it was kind of a last-minute deal. People were like, I didn't know about it. How come I didn't know about it? Well, we only found out about it on Friday and put things together and were able to be down there on Saturday morning, and it was such a great turnout. It was fun to see so many patriots and people excited to be together and to express the need for us to stand together, rise up, and stand against all of the things that are going on in our state. You know, we want common sense to be restored in our economy, and we want our schools to reopen this fall. We want to support our local law enforcement and first responders, and we definitely want to hold into account Kate Brown's failed leadership in keeping our businesses and communities safe and abandoning so many Oregonians who are still waiting for unemployment. You know, I thought about it when I was down there. I was like, if we had all of the folks together, think about this, 70,000 people waiting for unemployment, if they rallied together, and we know unemployment, the people waiting yet to be paid, we know that they're of all walks of life, right? They're all different political backgrounds, and many probably have never even voted, thinking, does my vote even count? People are awakening to the fact that, you know, our government really does have a lot of control in our lives, and it's important who we're putting into those key positions. And so, yeah, it was a great weekend. And before that, earlier in the morning, we had an event that I had an opportunity to go to, and that was a seminar with Kicking Cancer at Honky Tonk's Bar and Grill in the morning. And we talked about facing fear and what we can do in our own lives, how we can build up our health and our immune system. It was a wonderful opportunity. I just want to say hello to Bob. Hello to Ron and some of the others that came out to say hi and enjoy the seminar. It's so fun to meet all of you face to face. Thank you for coming out and meeting us when we do these live remotes and interactions. It really is about you. It's about us connecting the community and continue to say this. We're here to encourage, educate, and engage and empower. And it's one thing just to holler at the darkness and call out the darkness and all the wrong things that are going on right now, but it's even better when we can be a part of the solution, when we can stand together, united, tell our stories and get strength from that, and then come up with solutions, right? We have an opportunity to be a part of the solution. Yes, indeed. You and I, we can be a part of the solution. What can we do? What are things? And I hear this. What can I do, Stacy? What can I do to be a part of the solution? Well, make sure you're registered to vote, right? Make sure your friends and family are registered to vote and they understand what's going on in our communities, not just the mainstream media's talking points, right? Help them, bring them facts, show them, help them with the conversation, and not get in debates, but keep the discussion going. That's one thing, right? The other thing I really want to encourage you to do, if you've never volunteered for a campaign before, if you've never rolled up your sleeve, if you've never donated, what a great opportunity. I really believe if we all stood and stopped being the silent majority and we all stood up for our constitutional rights and got active and voted, we can make a big difference. Get involved in these campaigns. I know there's some great candidates in your local area that are running. There's statewide candidates and there's national candidates. They all need our help. And the other thing that we can do is we can tell our story. And in the studio today, I'm so excited to meet this couple. They drove, I have to say, they came all the way up from Eugene early this morning to be here with us to continue the conversation of how we're being affected by what's going on at the state level and the national level. Of course, we know COVID shut us down this March. everything got shut down. And our state wasn't completely prepared for that at the government level. And the frustrating thing about this is that they should have been prepared. They should have been prepared. And we're going to talk a little bit about the unemployment debacle that is going on. And in the studio with me, I am privileged to have David and Terry Beerworth here with me. And they're going to tell their story. David, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
That was quite a drive, huh?
It was.
How were the roads? Give us a little road report.
Go ahead, Dave.
Northbound I-25, or I-25 of Albuquerque. Northbound 5.
Mm-hmm.
Was not bad. It's typical early. I think a little bit later in the morning it would be much busier because everybody trying to get to Salem and Portland. But at 6 o'clock it wasn't bad.
All right. And how was the weather, Terry?
Oh, really nice. It's gorgeous out there. Just perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. So the sun's up early
yes.
and we're able to get together and hang out this morning. Our weather is going to be nice today. It's going to be warm in the 90s.
91, yeah.
It's already 60 degrees. Kind of feel it in here a little bit. Huh?
Yeah.
We'll have to turn up that air conditioning. Well, I'm so glad you're here today. Tell me a little bit about your story, David. You and Terry have been living in Oregon for a while now. You've moved here about 5 years ago, is that right?
Yeah, we moved to Oregon in 2015 in August with Terry's work from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she has a media sales background, television sales. And myself have a medical background, small business entrepreneurial, but when we came to Eugene, I was able to work in the medical device business, which is knee and hip replacement business. Since then, I worked for the VA last year in Eugene, worked as a clinician there, and then kind of gotten into a consulting rotation with different companies. And that's part of the issue, I believe, with the unemployment is the fact that I don't have a straight employment for the last 18 months. Unemployment looks at your employment history for 18 months back and determines how they're going to reimburse you or how the unemployment will work. So I worked for a company, had a contract with a hospital in Tacoma, Washington, with a company out of Portland, started March the 2nd. And I'm in a hospital, a big hospital in Tacoma. And working with what was supposed to be a 6-month contract, and at that time, 5 weeks went down the road, and a lot of the staff was falling off of the radar as far as employment. So by April the 9th, the contract was canceled because their revenue dropped 80%, and I've been unemployed ever since. And I don't know how far you want to talk about
this
for now, but so April the 9th. Me being, thinking the way I think, I was like, well, I didn't even think about unemployment. I'd been on unemployment once before in 2011 when I left the U.S. military active duty. I was on unemployment in New Mexico for about 5 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking. I was like, well, I'm in the medical field. This is one of the golden pillars of employment. It's like agriculture and everything else. So I'll be able to find another job. Well, lo and behold, here I am 4 months later. But to kind of backpedal on that comment, I talked to my employer, and they said, you probably need to apply for unemployment. So at the end of April, I applied for unemployment, and 14 weeks later, it's been arduous at best. I have not seen a cent. Luckily, my wife has some income coming in. We did receive the $2,400 from the federal, but that's been it. We've been scrounging around, and we're down to the very end. I mean, our 3-month buffer is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting to the point now where I had to take a job in a profession I thought I'd never work in at a rate I never thought I would work at again in my life at this time of my life. But it's been tough.
This is real life up close, and again, because you're in the medical field, what had happened is, if you weren't essential in the hospital care field, all of the surgeries, all of the things got put on hold, which I think personally is kind of a threat mm-hmm. to lives and livelihood. When you have hips and knees that need to be replaced and things like that, that's pretty detrimental in a lot of different areas. So people have been affected in so many different ways, and hospitals and their livelihoods and their financial situations been affected, and all the people that support that. So you have applied. And after we get back from this break, I want to go into more kind of those details. But you are one of the 70,000 people, wow. families affected and waiting yet to hear anything. Now, I know someone very personal to me who has applied too and initially we received your application and there hasn't been much communication since. Has there been much communication from the unemployment office to you?
I applied, like I said, the end, it was probably around the 20th of April. And then I realized that my fourth quarter income for last year was 1099. So I applied for the PUA, went through the whole process, but that was in June. Well, it was a little bit later. I realized that I actually had to apply for that. So to answer your question, I applied at the end of April. My first communication from the state was June the 6th on a Saturday. So it was June the 6th. My last communication from them, ironically, was last Thursday, this last Thursday. So I've heard from them twice. The conversation between the 6th and the last phone call last Thursday were almost identical. They were at the same level. There had been no improvement as far as me getting approved for any of the unemployment. So the problem is the fact that I work for the VA and the federal government. They have to verify my employment through the federal government. And the gentleman I talked to on the 6th said, well, we need to verify with the federal government that you're actually employed by the VA. And I'm sitting there scratching my head going, well, I've already filed my taxes. You have all my information. Mm-hmm. Why can't this be done?
Exactly.
He said, well, we'll verify it. Well, the gentleman called me on last Thursday, just this last Thursday, and the same conversation. He said, I can't even determine if it's even been applied for verification of federal employment. Mm-hmm. So I said, this is Thursday. I said, well, can you look at the different system and get back with me? When will that be? He said, tomorrow, which is last Friday, this 3 days ago. I didn't hear a thing. And that phone call, the first phone call came out of Bend, which was unusual. That's one of the reasons why I answered it. And the second phone call, which was this last Thursday, came out of Astoria. And I called the Astoria number back trying to get a hold of this guy and was immediately put into a voicemail that was dead end. And so I was like, well, maybe he'll call me by Friday, which was this last Friday. I haven't heard a thing. Maybe I'll hear from him today, which is, today is the 20th. So I don't know. I'm not holding my breath because he, that's where we're at. So,
well, and the irony of it all, here's what the practical part of me, and I have a social work background. I've been in sociology. I've worked in nonprofit. I've done case management, as well as marketing and things like that, and sales. But I am befuddled in a sense of watch your phone, answer the phone call, and I'm thinking, okay, it's been 3 months, and yes, your nest egg is going down, but things like cell phone bills are expensive. Things like internet access are expensive, and when you start trimming the budget, those are things that you put on hold, right?
Yeah, you can't trim
and
those.
And they're important, but it's like, what if people don't have cell phones anymore? They need to start communicating old-fashioned way, maybe old school through the mail, things like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue the conversation. And I'm wondering, friends, how you're affected. Who do you know that's been affected by not receiving what's due them in unemployment and assistance until we can get our economy back rolling again? This is a real concern, and it's important that we get a hold of our elected leaders and find out what they know and what they're doing about it. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. We'll be back after this. Morning, Salem. Trusting you're having a great morning. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. News that you can use, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And if you have something special going on in your nonprofit, your community, you've got a event. You're gathering together. Maybe it's outside or whatever. We're kind of in this weird no man's land. It's like we can start doing things kind of, but can't. And in fact, there was a funny, I might have to play this. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll play it for you. If you know about the musician Adley, in fact, I think Mike Gallagher played her on Friday. It's just so fun to listen to her say, it's like a pretend news conference. And she says, you know, you need to wear your mask, except you don't have to wear it, you know, and she just goes back and forth. It shows us this weird place that we're at right now. We are in, not sure if we move forward or take two steps back. It's just ambiguous. And certainly as we're continuing the conversation about unemployment right now and what's going on in our state and this whole debacle with the unemployment agency, and we have David and Terry Beerworth right here from the Eugene area. They've driven their car up here along I-5 to hang out with me here in the studio, and it has been an incredible morning hearing their story. And if you're just tuning in, I'll give you a little recap. They both have been in Oregon for 5 years, and David has been an independent contractor working in the medical field. And he had a really significant contract that he started work on here in the area, and in April, they canceled the contract. And he has been trying to work through the system that isn't so good here in the state of Oregon to try to get some relief and get the assistance that the federal government has given to Oregon to help folks like David and the other gig workers, I like to call them, that aren't traditional workers by punching a clock and having all this the money taken out for unemployment, things like that. So there is a safety net, in a sense, from the federal government to Oregon, but Oregon doesn't have the capacity, is what we're hearing. They don't have the capacity to manage this, which is really a sad state of affairs, because Oregon, back in the 2009 area, right around there, the federal government actually gave them funds to fix up the computer system, which had they done that, had they been fiscally responsible, we probably would not be as affected. There had been some weight, but nothing like it was. And I am curious how this is affecting you, the listener, because we know how it's affecting many around us. I know people right now who are still waiting 17 weeks, have not had communication. In fact, waited on the phone 5 hours on hold and found out when they finally got the fifth hour, got through, found out. They weren't even in the system technically, but they'd been filing every week. They had their Social Security number and they had their little PIN. They were filing every week, but they could not find an application. And this particular individual sent it in online and physically by the mail. Yeah, it's a little bit of a concern to me, and I hope it's a concern to you. And I know it certainly is a concern as well to our Senator Kim Thatcher, who is running for Secretary of State. And I believe she's on the air with me today. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Detect.
You're there. Hi, Kim. How are you today?
Yes.
Senator Kim Thatcher.
Thank you. Hear me?
Can you? I can hear you now. Yay.
Okay. Good. I'm like panicking. Why?
You did. You did great. You sent a press release out last week, and I want you to share about that and talk to Oregonians about where we're at and why it's important that they communicate their need to their local representatives. And certainly when you get into the Secretary of State position, how this is all going to change.
Oh, well, gosh. I mean, I can't obviously come up with the policies, but I think we need to sound the alarm bell on and on about some of these agencies that haven't followed up with some of these major issues that affect the mission of their agency. I mean, the unemployment, is supposed to be called the Employment Department, is supposed to be available to, you know, give back up to those Oregonians that have lost their jobs. And that is a big failure right now. And they were warned of that. And there have been glitches over the past 15 years. They were given $86 million. They've spent about $5 million of it, I believe, and they still haven't hired a vendor, and they're planning the project right now, but it's not going to be done until 2025. Well, that's just too little too late. And why can't we do what other states have done, who also have been facing antiquated computer systems? Like, we're using COBOL, and probably a lot of people don't know what the heck that is, but it's just an ancient computer programming from the 80s, maybe even before that, I don't know, but our computer system in Oregon from the 90s. So it's just not able to handle the employment issues, unemployment issues. But since the government, the federal government, was allowing for independent contractors, that was a whole new ball of wax, and there was no way that they could handle that. So here we are, and my inbox, I'm sure every other senator's and legislator's inbox is getting filled with the dire pleas for help from constituents and people all over the Oregon, just wanting to be able to get on their feet, and they're stressed out. And just this weekend, I learned that one of my is now homeless. Oh. And he can't find anywhere to plug in his phone so he can wait for a stupid call from the OED. It's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so bad for people, but here we are.
Well, and Senator Kim, when we come back from this break, if you can hang on with us a little bit, I want you to talk a little bit about your press release that you sent out and what you discovered and what you're bringing to light for Oregonians to be aware of, that this could have been prevented. And I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Will you stay on the line with me?
Sure.
Okay. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. I want to thank Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency for being our sponsor today. Yes, you can get a hold of him, 503-885-0789. And we are glad to be hanging out in the studio with Terry and David Beerworth, who have been affected personally. And it's getting kind of interesting out there right now. Many Oregonians are not sure what to do and how much longer they can continue to hold on. We're part of the solution. We're wanting to see things changed here in Oregon, and we can be a part of this solution. And I know around the corner is this election. We can elect the right people who will make the right decisions that affect our day-to-day lives. We'll be back continuing the conversation after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Wherever you're listening today, hello, I'm Stacey Ann. We're enjoying a wonderful Monday together. It's going to be a warm one today. Yes, could see temperatures in the 90s. Yes, officially summer. This whole spring, everything's just been so different with COVID-19. I know it's upended so many lives. And we have on the phone with us Senator Kim Thatcher. She has been such an advocate for everyday people. I just love, Senator, how you are in the trenches, telling your story, telling the story of Oregonians, bringing encouragement and hope. And I thank you for sending out this press release last week. And the title of it is Senator Kim Thatcher Gives Mixed Reactions to State Reviews of Employment Department Computer System. Talk to us a little bit about this release and what you discovered.
Well, they're working on it. I guess that's the good news. That's the good news right there. They're mm-hmm. working on it. But, my gosh, they should have worked on it so long ago. This is 11 years ago they got the money. 11 years ago, Stacey.
Mm.
11 years ago. I mean, that's over a decade. I don't know about you, but that's ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Yes, my daughter was just a little one. Now she's on to college. Yes, that's a long time ago.
Yes, that is a long time. It's just, there was supposed to have been an audit that was on Secretary Richardson's plan. He had put it on for the 2020. It should have been done by now. There was another audit that would have been online, and we could have maybe investigated a little bit more about what's going on and maybe encourage them to get going a little more quickly. We did not know the future, obviously. When all the COVID stuff hit us, what was that, about March,
mm-hmm.
beginning of March?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So here we are, and they get a management letter from the audits division because, well, obviously, the employment divisions are a little overwhelmed right now with all the work they're trying to do, so they didn't want to add to that mix. So they instead issued a management letter. And so it is a huge project. So they're worried about a number of things because, well, Oregon has not had a great track record with big IT projects. I don't know if you can probably count, just come up with a first, but there's some big issues in a big project like this. They don't even really quite know how much it's going to cost, but really, 2025.
That's a long time.
Planning it'd be done. Yeah.
Yes, that's a long time. So let me ask you this, just maybe wearing your senator hat right now and in the function of the Secretary of State's office and putting that hat on in November after you're elected and you get put into office next January, talking positively here, because Oregonians are going to stand behind you and we're going to make some changes in the Secretary of State's office. Is it too late? You're saying that there was an audit, but because they're in the middle of everything, they can't really do this audit right now, so they just did this letter thing. Is there an opportunity for Oregonians to have this investigated and where the failure and have some discovery as who made the decision not to spend the money? Is there that transparency? Is there an opportunity for that in the future?
Yes, it would be an opportunity for that. I think that would be important to find out. I think it's almost, well, for sure, when audits like this come out in 2009 and 2015, I would hope that we would have not only a legislature, but a governor who used to be the Secretary of State realizing, hey, this was a deal back when I was Secretary of State, and now I'm governor and I'm ahead of this agency. Come on, light a fire under something. But, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, 2020 hindsight, whatever. We definitely need to have a Secretary of State who's going to advocate for changes and be bringing it out, even though I can't like make it happen over in the executive branch, and I can't tell the legislature, make them do something. But I can suggest to them, hey, you guys, this is on you if you don't get this fixed.
Right,
it's going to be a huge problem.
And so folks need to get involved with your campaign and know what's going on and tell their friends and family about you. How do they get in touch with you? What is your website and what kind of help do you need right now?
Well, KimThatcher.com is the website. It's just my name and .com. Pretty easy. But all kinds of help, especially financial. That's really kind of the biggest right now because we can't go out really doing all these in-person normal things that people do in their candidates, going to fairs and parades and rallies and all that stuff. All those are out the window. So we're having to really focus things digitally. And there's only so much you can do on digital that's low cost. So there's a number of things that we need to do for advertising, reaching out to people, that it costs money. It really does. And so, unfortunately, I hate asking for money, especially when I know when people are in such dire straits right now. But yes, I've been asking for small donations and any bigger donations people can afford. But that's really the main part. But there's a number of things. You can just get on the website and there's places to volunteer and tell me what you'd like to do.
And I think if each and every one of us in our circle of influence, whether it be online or on the telephone, and we tell, hey, we know these are the candidates, they line up with our values, and this is why, that friend-raising awareness of talking points and the website and also donating can make a big difference. And we will be the silent majority that raises up and says, no, not on our watch, not anymore, right, Senator Kim?
Yes, and I'm hoping our silent majority would speak up a little bit more right now because there's so much we need to push back on. I'm putting my senator hat on and citizen of Oregon hat on.
Yes.
The direction we're going right now is tragic, and it's a bad trajectory, and we need to stand up.
It's time to stand up and rise, and I found out that there's going to be another Stand Up and Rise rally on October 15th. Don't know all the details yet, but it's time, friends, to come together and be bold, be brave, be courageous. We, too, can make a difference. Thank you, Senator Kim Thatcher, for joining us morning, and we wish you well as you continue to campaign. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, in the studio with me today. We are having a wonderful conversation about what's going on currently that is not so wonderful. Many lives impacted by not having the financial things that they need. And when I think about this, David and Terry, I'm looking at you here. You guys are professional. You have given back in your communities. You've been a part of the community there in the Eugene area. And all of a sudden, you're upended. And what you thought, your little nest egg for the future, planning for the future, you've had to burn through just to survive. You were just talking to me a little bit that you were like trying to figure out if we need to relocate. What do we need to do? You know, I'm sure a lot of other Oregonians are feeling the same way. Talk to me a little bit about that, David, about kind of the options. If you don't see some resolution here, what does this look like for you?
My work is as a consultant lends itself to relocation anyway, and that's probably one of the it's maybe an easy out for me in that regard. But like I was saying, I was working up in Washington. I've been applying for jobs all over the country, in New Orleans, St. Louis, Madison, Wisconsin. I just think I have friends of mine who live in Texas who. Granted, their employment history, going back to the 18-month thing, they might have had a much more consistent employment history, and they're getting their unemployment benefits within a couple of weeks. So part of my mentality is just like, you know, the state's gonna wrong us. I'm not gonna wait around for the next 15 years or 10 years for things to get better. They're obviously not public servants of ours. The state isn't, so I'm not gonna give my tax money. I'm gonna go give my tax money to somebody else, Oklahoma or Texas or. It's tough because Oregon's a great state. I mean, you always use the example, you know, one day we're skiing in Hoodoo with my kids, and the next day, literally the next day, we're on the beach in our shorts. Mm. And there aren't many places, maybe other than Southern California, where you can do that. I mean, it's just a great outdoor state. I mean, is that worth a lot of the issues that the state of Oregon has? I don't know. I mean, but getting back to your point, it's kind of gotten to the point now where without the unemployment benefit, I'm having to do something. I'm literally thinking about leaving everything I have and let it be probably sold at pennies on the dollar by my landlord and packing up all my personal effects and leaving because I can't, you know, the jobs aren't here. And I need to, you know, if a job, I'll be real, real direct. If a job from St. Louis opened up, which I've been interviewing for, I will probably leave, and then within the next 6 to 12 months, our family will leave. Mm. If we had the unemployment benefit, I think I could slow down a little bit and work the my channels locally. Mm-hmm. Have something that would be much closer, maybe in Boise or leave, you know, be able to stay in Oregon, but just be able to move back and, you know.
Exactly. The beautiful thing about contract working is that you can go into those areas and work and build those relationships and then go be really much anywhere in the country. And as you said, Oregon's such a beautiful place. You can be on the beach or you can be in the mountains. Oregon has so much opportunity as a place, and yet the people that have been in control for the last 30 years have really ran it down.
Yes.
And it's too bad because it's oppressive. And that oppression needs to be broken, and we can do something about it. We really can. But in the meantime, all the lives that have been affected, all the plans, you guys are planning for your future, planning for retirement, planning, you know, you have you have all of a sudden been upended, and yet you're people of faith and you're trusting that you'll be directed to where you need to be. It's interesting. I lived in South Dakota for several years, and the governor of South Dakota has been appealing to folks like you. Come to our state. We have jobs. We have opportunity. We have low taxes. All of those. Have you considered South Dakota potentially? It's cold there.
My mom's from Minnesota. The wind blows through there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest problem, underlying problem, is the whole COVID turning off the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get my because granted I wouldn't have been unemployed, but I think the reset or the backing up that's going to happen because of this. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I really don't know.
Everybody's everything that they think they've known has changed so much for all of us.
Yeah.
That we just have to live in the day and trust that we'll get through this day and come together in faith.
Yes.
And with strength, and know that we right now we can be making some decisions for Oregon in the next few months that totally change this thing around and put us in the right direction. I agree. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. David and Terry hanging out with me in the studio. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Stay tuned. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to encourage you, this broadcast will be produced and up on the website later today, and you can share it with friends and family. I think it's really important part of the solution that we can be as Oregonians and even across the country. If you are listening from Arkansas or South Dakota or Texas, wherever you are today, Oklahoma, you know, it's really important that we get involved in our local races. Elections have consequences, and we were just kind of talking off mic about how important it is and how so many times conservatives will say, you know, my vote really doesn't count, especially in if you're in an area like Oregon that's predominantly a blue state is what they call it. My vote don't count. Why should I even vote? Well, let me tell you this. The very first time Governor Brown, and you may have heard this before, the very first time she got into elected position, Governor Kate Brown, 7 votes. 7 votes. That was the start of what we know now of this stronghold that she has over us, telling you, you must wear a mask no matter if you're outside or inside, etc. And this whole illusion that the Democrats are the party of compassion, not so much. I don't think so. Are you experiencing that, David and Terry? Are you experiencing the party of compassion when you're sending messages to your senators and representatives? What are you hearing back from them when you email them?
I've emailed Speaker of the House Kotek because the fact that she had, through Facebook, I caught wind of the fact, or I read it, that she was asking for inquiry from people that were having a hard time receiving their unemployment benefits. So I fired off an email. Did receive a response, even though a lot of it was canned from a staffer,
or whatever.
I think at that time, there's been a couple more back and forth with her. I have, in defense of the GOP, but I've also been contacted some of the Republican state senators. And basically what I've been kind of got from all of them is that they felt that the unemployment department was being bombarded from all kinds of different directions from different political entities in the state. So they were basically taking a hands-off approach. Like, well, if you talk to Representative Kotek, I'm not going to talk to him because the unemployment department's asked us not to do that. And at the time, I didn't even have a customer number. It was a unemployment number.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to they weren't really able to identify me that well. So it's been back and forth, but here, like we've said from the very beginning of this hour, it's 14 weeks into this. I've had 2 phone calls and have not seen a dime. I'm still waiting for my unemployment benefits to kick in, and it's been very frustrating.
Now, you have served our country in the military. How many years did you serve? Which branch?
I'm part of the – I was in the Army from 86 to 90 as a surgical technician at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. 17 years in private service. I got out, worked in small business in Albuquerque, actually worked in medical sales too, and then around the age of around 39?
I remember.
Yeah. I got the idea of going back to nursing school. So I went back on active duty in 2007. So after a 17-year break as an enlisted man, went back on active duty with the U.S. Army in 2007, knowing everybody kept saying, you're going to get deployed, you're going to go to war. So ended up at Fort Hood, Texas for 4 years, ended up deploying with the 502nd Dental Group, dental company out of Fort Hood to Iraq for a year from 2009 to 2010. The nursing school thing didn't work out the way I wanted it to. They have a heck of a program in the Army for nursing students, but my grades weren't good enough, to be real truthful with you. So we got out in 2011 and lived in New Mexico from 2011 to 2015. And New Mexico is a blue and purple state, but nothing on the level of, as best we can tell, from compared to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of the old school Democrats. We were willing to leave New Mexico because of the poverty, so we came to Oregon thinking the school systems would be better,
mm-hmm.
and it would be a better place for us to go from that perspective. In reality, it's been very similar. Unfortunately, New Mexico is in the bottom 5 49 out of 50th in just about everything, from poverty to high school graduation to drug use and everything. Oregon's getting kind of similar to that. But again, you know, what's really the outdoors part's one of the reasons why we're here, and probably one of the reasons why we'd stay for longer, dealing with the nuances of the state of Oregon, the negative aspects, dealing with weighing those two against the environment.
Well, and your livelihood, being able to do the things that you want to do and build your dreams, that's why a lot of Oregonians, people move to this area. It's a draw. Yeah. And yet if we can't have sustainable lives and everything is so expensive, so, you know, they say, oh, there's no sales tax, but you're taxed on everything else that moves, right? And
yes.
Feed to death and all of that. And it's not a business-friendly climate right now. And so we have an opportunity to vote and make some changes and get some people in with some vision. And thank you, by the way, for your service.
Sure.
Here you are, a veteran who served our country, who takes that oath that I'm going to serve and defend our country and our Constitution. And in my mind, and not every individual who's walking through this certainly needs attention, but in my mind, our veterans, our first responders, our nurses and hospital staff, all of those, that in my mind, it seems like if you could triage and use a medical term, you should be triaged in my mind because of the time that you've spent to serve. And thank you for the, by the way, I was born at Fort Hood, Texas.
Oh, wow.
I lived there the first 9 months of my life. Haven't been back other than my sister-in-law live in, they live there and family lives in that area. And so a couple years ago, we went through that area. And so I know our listeners have been impacted by and upended by COVID-19 in one way or another, but I certainly appreciate you guys sharing your story today. And I'm hoping as we spread the news of this, and the pressure. I know everybody's like, oh, we want to leave unemployment off. You know, they're trying to do the best they can. And I believe that. There's some good staff. They really are trying to do the best they can. They just don't have the tools. They don't have the tools right now. But in the meantime, find help. Other states are getting it done. Find help. There is a solution somehow, some way. And we're just going to continue to pray that it all comes together. And that even today, we're going to pray that there's breakthrough. Go ahead.
In defense of the unemployment office, the employees they hire are extremely professional and very courteous.
Yes.
But you can tell their hands are tied. You start asking them questions, and they're like, well, that's on a different computer system. Well, can you look at that computer system? No. But the whole time, they're extremely friendly.
Mm-hmm.
The first phone call we got back on June the 6th, the guy was extremely friendly. He told me, you know, he told me the ins and outs. He was very curt or direct, but he was very extremely, you know, of any level of customer service you'd find from anybody.
And what I've heard, they'll say, I understand you're in a difficult situation. They've been trained a little bit to counsel and be helpful, and that helps because they're frustrated. You're waiting on the phone forever. You're waiting. You finally get that call, and then it's a voicemail or whatever. And we're hoping to be a part of the solution, continuing to spread the good news and believing that together, you know, we're making a difference. I so appreciate you being here today and being a part of the solution. We've got a lot of things going on in Oregon. I think this is primed up for change, don't you?
Yes.
So get out and vote, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here, and keep in touch. Let us know the progress, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll
thank
put you back on the phone or have you come back to the studio. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right.
We can help people. You
it's
bet.
Been fun.
Awesome. It's been fun. Thank you
for
being on the show. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use today and every day. I want to encourage you, if you have a guest, if you have a story, let me know about it. Stacey, Stacey, @KSLM.news. Together, we are a part of the solution, making a difference. Remember, no matter what you're facing today, over, under, around, or through, you and I, my friends, we're overcomers. Have a great day.